Thank you, everybody, for joining us in the first year that we're having, which is called the Chassan Shmooze that you wish you had, but you never had. I don't know if I have some new people online. For the past year, we were zocha to go through an entire cycle of Parshas HaShavua, reflecting on various ideas within the Parshas HaShavua that relate to recovery, to addiction, to compulsive sexual behavior. And my thinking was, after having completed that cycle, that it would make sense to try something different, because it is very difficult to each week consistently come up with some new idea that Dafka relates to the Parsha, and I don't like forcing Divrei Torah, so I've been able for a year to say something new, Baruch Hashem, but to keep doing that, I'm afraid that I wouldn't do that. So I thought that it would be good to focus on some of the ideas that we can find within the Torah in general about marriage and about healthy sexuality and healthy relationships. And I'm going to do this a little bit differently than the Shir, and you'll bear with me, and we'll learn more about it together. I want to give a couple of introductions, though. First of all, I assume this is being recorded, and I assume these recordings will be listened to beyond just the participants of today's Shir. And so I ask the listener who's listening to the recording to listen to them in sequential order, because I do believe in this case, unlike the Parsha Shiurim, that each Shir will build on the other. And so it would make sense to listen in sequential order. I also ask people to keep in mind that in the Shiurim, we're going to be discussing some matters that are sexual, and we're going to speak about it in a relatively frank and straightforward way. And even though this is recorded and somewhat of a public forum, and that is not the usual derech to do these kinds of things, I think that it also is an eis lasos l'Hashem. I think there's a terrible lack of knowledge in these areas, a tremendous amount of misunderstanding and distortion. And part of that comes from a fear that people have to find out information and to get adequate information. And I think also part of it comes from a justified reservation on the part of the Magide Shir, or the Rabbanim, to say something in a public forum that really is highly individualized. This part of the Torah in particular is really all halacha is dependent on the individual circumstance. But in particular, this part of the Torah is highly individual. And so there's a lot of fear. But yet sometimes we have to do something that is out of the ordinary, because the circumstances are very difficult. So, for example, the dialogue in our community over sexual abuse prevention and molestation has changed dramatically in the last 20 years. It used to be you couldn't write in a Jewish newspaper the word sexual abuse. You would have to write abuse or improper touch or some such thing. And because there's been such an emphasis, and I think rightfully so, on prevention, because we've realized Rabim Chalolim Hipilu, many, many people have been victimized in this way, that it's necessary to speak about it openly, even though it's not really the ideal Torah way. And similarly, I'm suggesting that in this year, even though it is going to be recorded, and even though there'll be an opportunity for essentially the whole wide world to have access to it, it's important to talk about these things, and we'll make an effort to speak frankly about them. Another important introduction that I want people to keep in mind is that this is not a halachic shir, and I'm not a posik. Baruch Hashem, I've had a chance to learn a lot, and I will offer some interesting ideas for you, but this would be analogous. Taking a halachic psak from this year would be analogous to getting open-heart surgery from a biology researcher. He might be a wonderful researcher, and he might write very interesting papers and even make discoveries, but he's no heart surgeon. So, you know, very similarly, we certainly are going to talk about various chazals, and I'm going to share them with you. And when I share a chazal with you, I will try to give you the marker so that you can study it yourself and draw conclusions. And I also have experience as a therapist working with couples for over 20 years, which I also will share with you and explain to you what the basis for my reasoning, if I make a suggestion that's based on some psychological principle. But if there's anything that comes up here that raises halachic questions, it's informational, and it's upon the listener to seek out a psak. That's not something that I feel qualified to provide. Okay, one other introduction. This year, the plan is that there is going to be participation. I think it will be greatly, this year will be greatly enhanced by participation, because people's experience and the relevancy to their lives at the moment, I think, is the most important part of this. I think, like many things in life, the basic ideas are relatively simple. It's the application of them that's hard. Even one of the most simplest mitzvahs in the Torah of Lashon Hara, when you come right down to it, what's the halacha? Don't speak Lashon Hara, right? Like Google's motto, don't do evil. Don't speak Lashon Hara. But it takes a lifetime of psychological and emotional development to fulfill that simple command, not to speak Lashon Hara. So similarly, we will talk about some interesting things here, and maybe I will have this list of shedding new light on certain Torah ideas that you had not realized, and I'd be happy to do that, but I also think that people's feedback is very important. And as such, number one, I didn't put it on mute, so if people do have questions, we will have a question and answer portion of this year. In addition, for more anonymity, I'm going to give you a number that you can text questions to, and that goes also, by the way, outside of this year. If you want to text a question, I will not answer the question then, but I may use it as something for the upcoming year. So people can text questions to 718-793-1376. And that's if you're outside of the country. I don't know exactly how that works, but this is an American cell phone number. Again, the text would be 718-793-1376. If for some reason a person is operating via email, there's a way to email to text, and that might make sense for people that are outside of the country. And the way to do that is, the email that would go to my text would be 718-793-1376 at vtext.com. That's V as in Victor. So 718-793-1376 at vtext.com. So again, people are welcome at any time to text questions. I think it'll greatly enhance this year, and that if a question occurs to you later, you're welcome to send in that question, and we will try to use it for material for the upcoming shiur. Okay, so I wanted to, let's begin. Enough with the introductions. Thank you all for bearing with me on that. So I wanted to talk about one idea for today, and it's a very important idea. I think it's an idea that has not been fully understood. You know, many people, as they enter into sobriety, the same things that they've done always, they begin to see in a different light, whether it's, you know, doing different mitzvahs or different relationships. And I think that a lot of times there are ideas that are thrown around often, but they're not really understood. And today I'm going to talk to you about what it means a bashert. Right? A bashert means somebody who you're destined to have as a marriage partner. So what does it say in the Gemara about this? So the Gemara in Sota on Beis Amud Aleph actually says, Amr of Shmuel, Bar Rav Yitzchak, Ki Av HaPosach, Rech Lokesh B'Sota, when Rech Lokesh would start teaching Masechah Sota, his Talmidim, he would start off with a Musavart, Amar Hachi. This is what Rech Lokesh would say. A Mizavagin Lo La'odam Isha El Lefi Masav. A person is only paired with a woman who is in accordance with his deeds. Shenemar, Ki Lo Yanuach Shevet HaResha Al Goel HaTzadikim. The lot, the rod of the evil one will not be lain on the lot of the righteous. Meaning to say, it's very clear, meaning to say that you get what you deserve. That's a hard concept, and I'm going to talk about that more, but you get what you deserve. So whatever you're upset with your spouse, and whatever troubles you're having, you may think to yourself, why do I deserve this? The answer is, instead of complaining why I deserve this, it's time to really start thinking, why do I deserve this? And as we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in punishing people. He's interested in people learning. So any experience that's a, quote, punishment is really a misnomer. What it is an opportunity for tikkun. So if we have a difficult experience with our spouse, that experience is something we're supposed to have, and that is an opportunity for a tikkun. Now, Rabbi Bar Chana said, same Gemara over there, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Vekoshen L'Zavagon K'Kriyas Yamsof. And actually, it's hard to make these Shidduchim like the splitting of the Red Sea. Now, the Pashup Shat is, it's hard to make Shidduchim, but I think it's quite possible, and this is my opinion, this is not the Gemara, but it's quite possible that the Gemara may be saying that keeping the Zivug is as hard as Kriyas Yamsuf. That, in other words, yes, it may be in some way Bashert, but it takes a tremendous amount of effort, like Kriyas Yamsuf, to maintain a relationship. And hard work is not necessarily unpleasant, but hard work is hard work. Now the Gemara raises a question, Eini, but it's not so. Vam Rav Yehudim Rav Arbaim Yom Kod Nesiris of Lod Bas Kol Yotzis Vel Meres Bas Ploni Loploni Bais Ploni Ploni Sada Ploni Loploni. But Rav Yehuda says, that's not true. How could you say that a person gets a spouse, a wife, based on their deeds? It's already decreed 40 days before the Vlad is even formed. Already, who he's going to marry, what he's going to have, is already decreed. So how does that make any sense? So the Gemara says, look, Kasha, Habazivik Rishon, Habazivik Sheni. One is regarding the first marriage. Literally, we'll translate this. One is regarding the second marriage. So it sounds like the first marriage is decreed, and the second marriage you get based on your deeds. However, if you look at some of the Mefarshim, not all of them, but some of them, and the Meiri in particular is very articulate about this. You could look that up. The Meiri says the Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni doesn't mean first and second marriage chronologically. Zivug Rishon means what one would get if there was no Sachar and Onesh, like if the marriage was already agreed upon, say, before the person was bar mitzvah, so they'll get the partner that is destined to them based on their mazel and based on their character, not their midas character, but I mean, you know, their personality mix and what really would be ordinarily destined. But once a person is in the parsha of Sachar and Onish, meaning once a person is subject to the consequences of his action and behavior, which would be after bar mitzvah or after bas mitzvah, then the marriage that comes to the person is based on what they deserve. And that's what the Meiri says. It's a very important point. So the Meiri makes that clear, and you can look that up. Another very important point that the Meiri makes is that there is an idea, and it's on that same daf, on Sota Beis Mar Aleph, there's an idea that everything that happens is ordained for good or for bad. It has to do with a person's deeds, and mazel will not interfere, he says, except he says there are times if a person is very distant from Hashem, then he may not even merit for any type of providence, and then he's subject to the happenstance of life. So we have to analyze that. But what's being said is that there may be circumstances that we in some way have a destiny toward, but once we are in the parsha, Sachar and Onesh, once we do things that have consequences for better or for worse, what happens to us, and particularly who we're matched with, is a reflection of those deeds. On occasion, the Meiri says, a person might be subject to happenstance, but that too is a reflection of the person's distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this is important to understand because nothing is permanent, meaning that if you believe that what happens is based on Sachar and Onesh, based on one's relation to Hashem, then even if you're in a bad circumstance, let's say a person ended up with a partner who is not an easy partner to live with, and the marriage is difficult. And let us say that it is, as the saying goes, getting what you deserve. If you believe that, it's also important to believe that whatever you do going forward also will be what you deserve. Meaning, if a person repairs their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and repairs their character and their midos, so what happens to them next will also be based on that. So even a difficult marriage or a difficult relationship or a difficult spouse that was a reflection of the person's deeds can also change and be a reflection of a greater connection. And this comes back down to what we were saying before about that there is no such thing as punishment. What there is an opportunity and a challenge. So when a person is in a difficult situation, the answer is not rhetorically, why did I deserve this? What did I do to deserve this? The answer is actually to ask, what am I doing that's bringing this about? And to begin to listen to the message, whatever the message may be. And, you know, when you're in a relationship, it's so critical to be able to look at the other person and see them as separate and distinct from you, and not to come at it from a position of control and from a position of gratification, but to really try to understand, you know, who is this other person? What are they talking about? What do they mean? Because that other person is a shaliach from Hashem to teach you things that you need to learn about yourself, and that the faster that you learn those things, the sooner you'll go to another level, and every level will bring you greater joy. So our spouses, a lot of times, have a way of challenging us, and they bring out into the open our weaknesses and our flaws, and it really hurts. But if we're open and we're humble, there's tremendous opportunity for healing and growth. You know, people fight about basically five things. I really think all marriage fights can fit into these five categories: sex, money, children, religion, and in-laws. I think it pretty much comes down to that. And if you understand how much control behavior fits into those categories, how controlling people can get about religion, or controlling they can get about family, or child rearing, or controlling they can get about money, you'll understand that these are the great axes of change. That if you can approach a relationship in a respectful and collaborative point of view, and try to understand what the other person is saying, there may be great opportunities to change our own arrogance and change our own control behavior. Now, really, this model of learning and growing by dispute, right, by interaction, answers and questions and learning, it's really from no less than Beis Hillel. The Gemara in Erevin on the Gimel at Beis asks a question. The Gemara says over there that both the words of Beis Shammai and the teachings of Beis Hillel, both are Torah, and they're valid. Elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim. So the Gemara says, if elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim, if both the Torah of Shammai and the Torah of Hillel is equally valid, lepnei ma'azochu Beis Hillel lekvoa halacha kamosan. So why was Beis Hillel merit that really most of the time, except for some instances, why is the halacha like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai? And the Gemara identifies three attributes that the school of Hillel had, and that is why they were Zocha. And the three attributes were Mipnei Shenochen Ve'aluvin, they were gentle and they were humble, and Oluv means somebody that could hear criticism and not react hostilely and not get defensive. So Nochen Ve'aluvin, the students of Hillel were gentle and they were humble. They studied their words, but they also studied the teaching of Shammai. In other words, they entertained fully and legitimately the other point of view. So if they were involved in a dispute, they studied the other point of view with an open mind and an open heart and equal footing as their own. And lastly, lo od, not only that, it was not just an intellectual exercise that they studied the other point of view, but they were courteous. They were humble. They studied the words of Beis Shammai first before they studied their own point of view. Now, if you apply that principle to your marriage, if you're calm and humble and you're gentle, if you want to thoroughly understand the other point of view, doesn't mean you agree. Beis Hillel oftentimes did not agree with Beis Shammai, although interesting, I'll submit for your consideration that maybe there was hundreds of times more that Beis Hillel would have argued with Beis Shammai, and the end is they didn't because they listened to Beis Shammai, so we don't know. But whatever it is, we know many times they disagreed. You can study the other point of view thoroughly with an open mind without sacrificing your own sense of self, without sacrificing your own legitimacy as a person. Beis Hillel often disagreed with Beis Shammai, but they studied the other point of view. And not only that, they were courteous. They studied the view of Beis Shammai first. They didn't have to do that. That was an extra madrega. That was an extra madrega of humility and an extra madrega of courteousness. So, in your relationship, do the same thing. You're in an argument, or you're angry about something, or you're frustrated about something, or you're hurt. First, be calm and be gentle, A. B, try to understand the other person's point of view. And C, study the other person's point of view first. So you might say something like, something happened yesterday. It left me feeling really horrible. And I'd like to understand, what were you thinking, what were you feeling, that you did what I saw, that you did what I experienced. Help me understand. And then the person will explain to you. Maybe they're justified, maybe they're not justified, maybe they'll make an apology, maybe they won't make an apology. But that's the derech. That's the way that it's done. And that's how you learn from the person that you're destined to be with. You're going to waste your time, spend your life arguing, and not learning anything, you wasted an opportunity. Now, I couldn't resist. Happens to be there is something for this week's parasha that does relate to this, which is that the brothers, when they finally faced Yosef and he revealed himself, they were completely blown away. All the rationalizations that they made for what they did, and for years, right, they were living with this guilt, but obviously also justifying their behavior, which is human nature, at that minute it all disappeared. And the Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Tzadik Gimel, Yud, says as follows, Lo yochlu achav lanos oso, the brothers could not answer Yosef. Abba Kohen Bardalo Omar, Abba Kohen Bardalo says, Oy lonu miyoyim hadin, Oy lonu miyoyim hatoychocho. Woe is to us on the day of judgment, woe is us on the day of rebuke. And he goes into examples about how you see how the brothers were so, they had nothing to say, and that was in front of a flesh and blood king, and they had nothing to say. They were, all the rationalizations disappeared. You know, we get into fights about the silliest things, and you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? After 120 years, is it worth it? Because when you're faced with the truth, all the silly things, you know, evaporate at that moment of truth. And we would like our moments of truth to be not that we wasted our time fighting over petty things, that we, you know, actually took opportunities to learn from the people around us. So that's the conclusion of the didactic portion of today's shiur. If anybody has any questions, they can speak up. Before you do so, again, I just want to tell you, you can feel free to text now or later questions that you might want to have answered in future shiurim to 718-793-1376, 718-793-1376, or you can send an email, which will turn into a text on my end, to 718-793-1376@vtext.com. Okay, any questions or thoughts?
Rabbi Feuerman.
Yes.
Thank you for having this series. I don't know what you're going to cover, but I'm just thrilled that you're doing it. I didn't grow up in the Torah world, so I didn't know where to look, but I've been looking for a few years on etzes, on intimacy and you know, sholem bayis b'klal, mainly intimacy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And starting to get answers, mm-hmm. you know, positive, worthwhile, good answers. And I'm so glad it's coming out there, and I look forward to whatever else you have to offer. But already it's what you've offered is very valuable. I appreciate it so much.
So I hope as, you know, as time goes on, again, it's a progression, because we need to lay down the right foundations. We will progress into some, I think, you know, very frank discussions about Torah ideas for, you know, intimacy and sexuality. But also, your questions are very important. So let's say, you know, you mentioned you're interested in ideas. Feel free, if you'd like, to take some time to assemble some questions. And they'll be helpful to me and to the other people, because if you're thinking it, oftentimes other people are too. And I know it's Yasher Koach for being the Nachshon Ben Aminodav that came out there and spoke. It's, whatever you're thinking, probably other people are thinking too. It's hard to talk. People don't want to be identified. Maybe the neighbor is going to recognize their voice or whatever. I get it all. At the same time, I do really feel that this year is going to be greatly enhanced with participation. And I will welcome that if that is what some of us are able to do. So any other comments before we conclude? Okay, so folks, you should have a great Shabbos. You should continue to grow, and thank you for this opportunity. Take care.
Thank you. Good Shabbos.
Thank you. Cultus.